No debate, no bias, just the news. Brass Tacks with Zucker Jacob.
Welcome, listeners, to this Brass Tacks podcast. It's weeknights, 9:25 on CNN News 18. We've got a big story today in Parliament. The Citizenship Amendment Bill has been introduced in the Lok Sabha. And by the time you hear this podcast, by the end of the day today, it's likely that the Lok Sabha would have passed the Citizenship Amendment Bill. What does this bill seek to do? It basically seeks to grant citizenship to those persecuted individuals who've been persecuted on religious grounds in three countries, that's Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Bangladesh. And this is only non-Muslims who've been persecuted in those countries. So Hindus, Parsis, Buddhists, Jains, Sikhs, Christians, any non-Muslim individual who can show or prove that he or she has been persecuted for religious reasons in these three countries, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, and have had to flee to India, can apply for citizenship and can legally become citizens of India. Now, you would ask, what is the fuss all about? The fuss is at multiple levels. First up, straight away, many in the opposition are arguing that deliberately keeping Muslims out, Muslims who also face persecution in these countries, keeping them out, is segregating individuals on the basis of religion, which is against the Constitution of India. Not just against the Constitution of India, it's against Article 14 and 15, which is the right to equality and the right to life. And more importantly, it is against the idea of India, the way India was founded, as opposed to the way Pakistan was founded. India never believed in religion as a demarcator or as a differentiator or as a benchmark for granting citizenship. So in this case, in the Citizenship Amendment Bill, if you're using one particular community, you're excluding one particular community and giving citizenship to all other religious groups who may be persecuted, then that goes against the very idea of India, which is a secular republic. The government's claim is that that's not the case, there isn't religious persecution against Muslims in Pakistan, Bangladesh, or Afghanistan. These are countries that have been formed exclusively for Muslims in South Asia, and therefore there's no question of giving them any kind of refugee status, citizenship. And more importantly, this could sort of lay the bedrock, this could be the foundation for a nationwide NRC exercise, which of course was done in Assam, and we've seen the results of what happened in Assam. Now, the problem is also on the ground in the Northeast particularly, where people have taken to the streets in large parts of Assam. We've seen protests in Tripura, some in Meghalaya and Manipur as well. Now, we're given to understand that the central government in this new bill will be making exceptions to some parts of the Northeast, which is the six scheduled areas in Assam, Meghalaya and Tripura, and also the inner line permit areas in Arunachal Pradesh and Nagaland. And we are also given to understand, though this is not part of the draft bill yet, that Manipur will also be given some kind of an exemption. So, largely the Northeast will be kept out of the purview of the Citizenship Amendment Bill, because the fear there is this would simply be an invitation for Hindu groups or Sikhs or Jains or Parsis or Christians to simply come to India, to the Northeast, and thereby alter the demographics around the Northeast. The concern is at multiple levels. Like I said, first of all, you cannot have one group excluded, specifically in this case the Muslim community. Two, it defeats everything that the founding fathers of this country stood for and the principles on which they wanted to establish this country, and the exact opposite of the principles on which a country like Pakistan was established. India has always been and has taken pride in the fact that citizenship is not going to be based on religion, that people of all religions would be and should be treated equally. They will be treated equally by the state. They're not going to be discriminated on the basis of religion. I also think there is an economic logic which the opposition, at least some of them, are putting forth, but not forcefully enough. Let's be clear about this. Immigration, for example, in the US is a big issue in the southern border, where there is a widespread perception that there are these illegal immigrants who are coming in to America. They're taking away jobs from American citizens. In India, it's a little different. We already are struggling to provide employment, meaningful employment, to large swathes of our young people. In fact, unemployment is at record numbers. We are still very much a developing country with very finite resources that the state can offer. And we have a huge population to take care of already. We've got 1 billion plus people. So how are you going to take care of another 20, 30, 40, 50 lakhs? God knows how many more will avail of the new CAB once it becomes a law. How many will come using this new law? So in a country where we're already struggling with finite resources and limited employment, how are you going to absorb this massive new influx of people on the back of the CAB? So there is an economic reason as well where the government seems should be concerned. But frankly, more than that, it's really on the question of legality, on the question of constitutionality, and the question on the very idea of India that I think this bill sort of comes short. You cannot outrightly discriminate against an entire section of people because they happen to profess a particular kind of faith. Also, what sort of message are you sending out to minority groups in Bangladesh or in Pakistan? Tomorrow, extremist Islamist organizations in Bangladesh and in Pakistan can basically turn around to their minorities and throw them out and say that, look, you anyway are being given citizenship in India, so go to India. So I don't think this bill is going to make the minorities in those countries any more safer either, which is the original intention of this bill. So I really think it would be a big task. Yes, it will get passed. It'll get passed in the Lok Sabha. The BJP clearly has the numbers in the Lok Sabha, and it could likely get passed in the Rajya Sabha as well, because if 370 could get passed in the Rajya Sabha, despite the government not having numbers, clearly they're in a better position as far as this bill is concerned. So clearly it will pass both houses. It looks like it will pass both houses. The question is, will it pass the test of the Supreme Court of India? And I think this is where we really need to, ask ourselves, after the Keshavananda Bharati judgment in the early 70s, where the Supreme Court basically said, no government law, no bill that's being brought in can alter the basic structure of the Constitution of India. And I don't see how it can be argued in the Supreme Court, because clearly this case will come up in the Supreme Court, how it can be argued in the Supreme Court that this particular piece of legislation is not changing the basic structure of the Constitution of India. So I think it'll be very, very tough to see how this passes legal muster. And this is really, after 370, I think, going to be the biggest challenge as far as the government is concerned. Even on 370, yes, they hurriedly passed the bill. It's been 5 months now, and we haven't seen any of the internet restrictions come off, nor are the political people who've been detained, nor are those restrictions coming off. The only good thing to the government's credit is there hasn't been any reports of large-scale violence in Jammu and Kashmir. But on the CAB question, already we are seeing protests in the northeast, in large parts of the northeast. I suspect that despite the government saying that large parts of the northeast, the six schedule areas, the inner line permit areas have all been exempt from the CAB, I don't see these protests sort of dying down very soon. And most importantly, and I think this is where this bill really needs to be fundamentally re-looked at, and the fundamental reason is this, that you cannot have a situation where you have one set of citizenship laws for the rest of India and another set of citizenship laws for large parts of the Northeast. I mean, if we are talking about one nation, one constitution, one citizenship, you can't have large sections of the Northeast exempt and the rest of India having a different set of rules. I think you can't have two citizenships in one country. So that is, again, something that the government will find difficult to explain. But like I said, in terms of real politics, the numbers are clearly on the government side, and they will ensure that it's passed in both houses of parliament. But the ultimate test, as in many instances in the past, is going to be in the Supreme Court and whether this law will pass legal muster. With that, I'm going to wrap up this Brass Tacks podcast. We'll catch you at 9:25, where we'll have an extensive segment on Brass Tacks on the Citizenship Amendment Bill. Everything that you need to know, what the bill seeks to do, what the concerns are, and what is likely to happen next.
Welcome. No debate, no bias, just the news. Rostags with Zucker Jacob.